Okay, so the first sif of Siman Pei Zayin, the Rambam writes that the Shmar writes rather Derech Bishul also Torah, right? Sheino also Torah El Derech Bishul. That's in terms of the Yisur of Bishul, Yisur of Achila, and of course in the Rabbanan, it's also Yisur of Derech Bishul. And the Rambam added that Chol Bas V'Chol Sheino also in the Torah Muta Bahano, right? But it's Muta Bahano, even though it's also derisive to eat it. So we're discussing what is meant by Bishul. Bishul can be a catch-all phrase meaning cooking. Right, that we saw in the Ksava Kabbalah and the Netziv and the Birkas HaNetziv, which is not on the sheets, but we mentioned that to Shultis and so on, and then Mechilta. I mean, I also mentioned this idea that Bishul means food preparation. So the question is, what about alternate forms? What about alternate forms of Bishul? Usually, on a technical level, the term Bishul means where something is cooked through the medium of water or some other liquid. Right, that liquid heats up in the pot, and the liquid is what ultimately cooks the ingredients that are in the pot. So, what about alternate forms of cooking? So, we mentioned that Pesukim in the Torah would seem to extend Bishul to other things, to tzli, for example, to roasting, the different Pesukim in regards to Korban Pesach, we talked about last time, and we started to talk about tigun. Okay, tigun is frying. Now, it's also liquid, but not in the same sense, right? Tigun that uses oil. Also, the fat and so on, in which to fry, and it's liquefied, but it's not like the whole pot of water and the stuff's put in the pot like a soup or a vegetable when you cook vegetables. Rather, basically, there is some liquid, but it's not the same. That's frying. Okay, there is some form of liquid. So we mentioned it seems to be a little bit machlokas rishonim with regards to tigun is included again, d'oraisa. I'm bishul, I stress again, d'rabbanan, no question, it's also, but the nafkam will be for hanok purposes, and some of the shalos we discussed. So, I think we saw the sugi in the beginning of Sanhedrin, and Avdalah, that seems to be Machlokas Rishonim over there. Rashi says explicitly in Sanhedrin, Avdalah Amud Beis, Rashi says towards the top of the page, Rashi says that there, Avdalah Beis, Bilwasa Derech Bishul, he says there's a difference, Bishul and Tigun, because the sugi there is frying in Chelev. Chelev is fat. Okay, so it's not liquid, it's frying. Okay, and so the way Rashi learns the sugya, that's how he proves that there must be talking there about chalav and not chalav, right? That yesh ein l'mikra, yesh ein l'masor, discussed all this last time, right? So therefore, Rashi says Bishul is not the same as Tigun, and Tosus seems to agree, okay? But Tosus also quotes a yesh mefarshim that it was not so. That's again the sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Talad. So, if you look now, 33, I think we're up to, no? Okay, the Pisrei Tshuva here by us, huh?
For Tigun, is the idea that we've added oil and we're burning it in some oil, or that the oil itself is its own fats?
No, in the case here is where you're mevashel, where you're frying, in other words, in chelev, the case in the Gemara, it's separate, it's chelev, and you're frying something in that fat. But the question is, what if it's a, you know, you have basar, you put in, there is some other fat, you put in basar and chalev into that mixture. You know, would that be bishul bas v'chalav? You know, are you asking does it have to be the fat of the meat itself or any other fat? I don't think it matters.
Let's say
you're deep frying meat. Yeah, so deep frying is an interesting question. I'm glad you brought up. Deep frying is a little different because deep frying you're actually putting it in the oil. Yeah. Now that's an important difference. Like if you've seen them make French fries, you know, so you have a big tub. I don't know what you call it, a pot with boiling. Right. So that's really what's closer to bishul. The tigun we're talking about here is we have a small layer, like a frying pan.
So if you have a frying pan, and then add a pinch of oil in there.
Yeah. So I think the issue is the food submerged in it or is it cooking in it? I think that deep frying, I don't have my comments. I think the Archon discussed it. I don't know if they had deep frying, but it was common man means of cooking in those days. Yeah. Today, again, that's they make French fries. Like they take fat, oil, whatever it is, a big thing, and they chuck in the French fries and make a big fire, right, because the oil burns. It's talking here about frying like in a pan. We have a little bit of, you might have some margarine or I mean, today margarine is considered unhealthy, I think. Well, now it changes every few years. But, you know,
you have something in there. It's
there's
not
something in there. There's some spray. Right, exactly. I think my understanding is that deep frying is really not much different than bishul. Because bishul doesn't have to be water. I mean, without doing a lot of the cooking.
Do you know how we draw the line between
It's a little hard to say, but I think the line is drawn whether can the food be submerged, you know, the mamish inside that thing, or just lying on top of it. That's how I would make that chazak. Okay? So when we're talking, when the chazal are talking about tigan, they're talking like a chalev or butter or you know, olive oil spritz. Today people use spray cans, you know, and spray the pan. So again, it's a liquidy substance, and the substance is resting on it, but it's not inside it, like when they make french fries. So I think deep frying, I think, is different. So I'm glad you brought that up. I mentioned shkar. Okay, but here's talking about, you know, plain tigan. So you look by us here at the beginning of the siman, the pisket tshuva, and sukkot nalef. Right, it tells you look in the Bar Hetiv, which you could. Okay, actually, the Bar Hetiv is now in the Bar Ilan. It used to be for some reason. I remember learning Nida, I think it wasn't there. And now it's in. Okay, anyway, but the Bar Hetiv is there. So, anyway, so the Peshkat Shuvah here in Sukkot Nalav by us in Sim Pezayin, right? Look at the Bar Hetiv, look at the Bichodesh, which we'll see. The Gam Tigun Bichal Bishul. Okay, Tigun is Bichal Bishul. Okay, and that's what Rav Rashi said, that, you know, I'm sorry, that's what the summary shonim say. Because Rav Rashi that said that the tzliya, and Hagen explained that Rashi, you know, that said that when you're vashel b'chelav, it's not called bishul. Okay, so you have to say, maybe, and that's how the pichodesh will say, either we're pasuking the other way, okay, or... there's a difference, maybe it's along the lines of what you're saying, is there a difference with something which is tzalul, which is clear, which is basically a liquid. Fat is not really, even a spray, it's not really a liquid in the same sense. And that may explain a little bit what the chilik would be. In other words, is the according to this approach, that bishul is not, tikkun is not bishul, even not deep frying, even plain. The answer is because the liquid substance, although liquid, it's still, I don't know what the right word is. It's not, it was viscous. It's not solid. It's not clear like water or milk, even, or juice, or something like that. You pour wine. They cook a lot in, I think people can sometimes cook in wine. In Chinese food, it's cooked in wine. That's clear, as opposed to a fat, which is, now it's liquid because it's been liquefied, but it's not naturally. So perhaps you can make that pechelik. But in any event, so the Pesach Chuv quotes Samachonu Paskin Gam Tigun B'chal Bishul. Ach Hamem Yud. That's Minchas Yaakov. Okay, that's the Minchas Yaakov. That's the Minchas Yaakov is by the Chok Yaakov on the Ramor wrote a Sefer Torah Chatos, which has a lot of the dinim of Moshechol. The Ramor Sefer Torah Chatos. Minchas Yaakov is a common Minchas Yaakov. We had a lot last year in the Chosnid of Torah Hashanah. That's the same author. They sometimes refer to him as the Minchas Yaakov. He wrote the Chok Yaakov, which is printed on some section of Orach Chaim, for example, the Chos Pesach. The Chok Yaakov is on the page. And the Shaul Zatshuva Shus Yaakov, one of the early Achron, also from him. Kirby Yaakov Reisha. Anyway, so the Minchas Yaakov sold the Minchas Chal Pehe, and the Ram Shifi quotes himself, I say, Rachulim, Tzidadu Lahokel, the Tigan Law of the Chal Bishol. Okay, so he quotes. The machlokas, you know, the previous chetshuva has the machlokas, and again, everybody agrees rabbanon, and therefore it's mutar b'hanah, but you shouldn't cook it. Okay, as you said, you should be careful not. You know, since some people ask for it, you shouldn't cook it. That's the iser. That's the previous chetshuva. The prima gadim here in Sivkot Nalef in his commentary on the Taz. Mishpat source 34, Mishpat Zov, Simon Pezayin, Sikot Nalev. He says, Vihine Tzli Osim in HaTorah. Okay, he quotes the Prichodosh, Osim in HaTorah. And he says, Vichain Halach will come back to Tzli. And as far as Tigun is concerned, Afa Prichodosh, Shom Hichad Avni HaTorah. He now, Minchas Yaakov, he says, is Mako. And he says, that's a simple reading of Rashi and Tosas. And he quotes that same Aram Shif and so on. And therefore, Mikol Halein, look at the last words of the Prima Gadim there. Again, this is the Mishpat Zozov and Sukkot Nalef here. Mikol Halein Yesh Litzadeh Behevse Meruba Lahater Minei Tigun Bahanoa Benomar Delo Avidar Torah. So basically, the Poskim are saying we should consider it to be Osir, okay, because since some say it is conformer Bishwa, consider it Osir B'Daraisa, and therefore Osir Bahanoa. But since there's some Poskim are Mekel, so B'mokum Hefse Meruba, okay, they will say that there's another shita to rely on, so we're not going to make the guy incur a great financial loss. We'll say that the other shitas we can rely on, but the evidence, so to speak, and aser went to our level, therefore it's mutar b'hano. Okay? That's the prima gadim's kind of a compromise, if you will. The chay adam, okay, everyone with me? The chay adam and the chokhmas adam here in in Shari's Veheta, Chal Mem Os Aleph. The Chacham HaZadim, again, is Avram Danzig in Vilna. It's more famous, I guess, for the Chai Adam, but the Chacham HaZadim here, he writes Kazav Torah right at the beginning. Kazav Torah, Lo Sashu Vem Lo Gimel Pomim, song, that's the Mokker. Okay? He writes at the end, he says, Aval Tzli Vitigun Hu Kibishu V'Osir Min HaTorah. He doesn't give you any way out. The Chai Adam Paskin, Tigun, again, we'll come back to Tzli, but Tigun is Osir Midoraisa. All right, the Aruch HaShulchan has Kedarko here in Arsiman Pezayin, Sivyud, Sivyud Aleph, has Kedarko a summary, right? Tigun Basar Bechema. Notice he said like butter, right? Bechema al machvas. Okay, you fry meat in butter. Yesh machlokes ben hagdolim in the rice of Rabbanon. Menafkamina in Mutabano. Rosh Hashanah is a good thing to read over to get a summary, a synopsis. Okay? And you should see the source that he quotes too, because sometimes the Aruch HaShulchan, I read some of that he didn't have access to as many Svarim, and sometimes he just presented things as he remembered them, Baal Peh. And, you know, when you quote Baal Peh, sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes he misquoted Chas V'Shalom on purpose. He didn't have access to the same thing he's quoting, and he misremembered. So it's good to see. But anyway, he gives a good summary. He says, Yesh machlokes ben agdol v'dvayis v'abon, v'nafkemina b'hanah. Okay? And the question is, Tigun, and the issue that he's talking about is Klomar, Imutu Yisrael Letagin Bosu Bechema Barakusi. Can I fry Bosu Bechema for a goy? I get paid for this. Working when we talk about the Rajah Safe Steward. Okay, but the Aruch HaShulchan mentions it. The guy gets paid. And he says, V'dover Zem Motzi Ma'od Bachsanyos. It's not okay. A Chsanyos is like a little restaurant, an inn. Okay, this is apparently common. The Jew gets the jobs there. Okay, the Yesh over the Habakibishal, Sharafil Utsli Eish Bavad, Kimotzis Karbon Pesachsi Vashal. I mean, Tigun is closer to, Tigun frying is closer to standard Bishal than Tzli is, because Tzli doesn't use any liquid. Tzli, it's out of open fire, right? So the Baruch HaShulchan writes that Tzli is called sometimes, like my compressor is called Bishul, like in those psukim that we saw yesterday. That's why I showed you the psukim. It's all the Achron quoted. It says, Vayivashu HaPesach, so Kosher and Tigun. If Tzli is going to be considered Bishul, Tigun certainly, because Tzli has no liquid, right? So Vada, the Tigun. On the other hand, he quotes the Rashi and Tosla we saw, the Tigun ain't a Bishul, okay? And so what do you do with the Pasuk? What about the Psukim? Okay, so he'll say the Psukim that the Torah Loma, the Zesh HaPasuk Karl, the Tzias HaPasuk, Bishul Drosho, see, Kamosha Drosho, Bishul Free, okay, Bishalta Vachalta, some other Drosho you learned from it, Ode Koyal HaChagiga, remember I told you HaChagiga is Yadalit, the Pasuk means something else, you have other Terutzim as to what the Pasuk means. But again, he does Paskin like the Prima Gadim says, the Hefsin Merubah Yeshus Machalzeh. Okay, then he mentioned an important thing also, Aruch HaShulchan, and he says, I told some person quote, "Nafkamino beef hilchos nedar." Let's say I'm no der min habushul. I take a neder not to eat anything bushul. Can I eat something which is tzli or tigun? Okay, so the Mishnah Nedarim says that I no der min habushul mutar b'tzli, right? And then again, certainly tigun. Okay, certainly should be the same thing tigun. But he says there's not necessarily a raya for that. Because by Nedarim, we have a general principle that in Nedarim, haloch achaloshim b'nei odom. In Hilchos Nedarim, we're trying to weigh what is included in a person's statement. The answer is, it's what's the common language? Okay, in those days, we can assume what the person meant was the way people speak. Okay, so maybe when, like I said before, we call anything cooking. Okay, cooking, we don't distinguish unless we're looking to distinguish. We say, I'm cooking supper, so maybe I'm roasting. We don't make that chilek. Okay, guys, I'm cooking for Shabbos. He's by the grill. Okay, at least my wife still has me with the grill. It's still warm weather. Okay, so sometimes I help cook for Shabbos. I don't cook, I put on the grill, you know. So, but that's called cooking in vernacular, you know. So therefore, in Hilchos Nedarim, so the Aruch HaShulchan, it's an important principle to know. In Hilchos Nedarim, we follow Kalosha Me'adam. The person took a neder. What did he mean? He means the colloquial, how people talk and what it means. However, that Abba Lashon Torah, okay, maybe Lashon Torah, there are differences. You know, maybe, so the truth of the matter is, at least back then, it could be that people talked, Mevushal and Tzli were different. Okay, back then in the language, people did distinguish between bishul and tzli. Therefore, anodim and bishul is mutter b'tzli, because in those days they used different, in that neighborhood or that time, they had different words, and if the person said mevushal, he meant mevushal, not tzli. Other cases might be different, but lashon Torah, tzli is b'chal bishul. Okay, based on putting on Pesach and so on. So that's what he points out. In the second sif there, Sif Yud Aleph, he mentions v'chem the Rashi v'tosu the tigan ain b'chal bishul v'chal v'adai kenu. Okay, he says, look, Rashi and Tosu both agree that tigan is not included in bishul. We think that it's true because he says, after all, let's remember what we're trying to solve here. We're trying to understand the pasuk in the Torah which says lo sivashal gadi b'chalevi mo. Okay. And it says, the truth of the matter, if you think about it, if you're cooking in milk, what is that? That's not really tzli. You're not going to cook in milk. And it's not even tigon. Okay? It could be tigon, just the butter. Okay? But standard bishul basar v'chalav, sevashal gadi b'chalei v'imo means what? You're cooking it in the milk. In the simplest sense, right? I put up a pot of milk and I dunk some meat inside, right? So says the Racha Shulchan Mistame, which should not include, certainly should not include the Tigun. So that's an interesting analysis. You hear what he's saying? In other words, he's saying that the original source is Lo Sivash and Gadi Bachalei Bimo, which sounds like the Bishul's being done in the milk. It's not Tzli, because then he wouldn't say that in the milk, and it's not the Tigun. Now you can very easily answer that by saying what? Okay, that's the example the Torah gives, but it means any type of, right? I mean, the proofs aren't either way, and that's why it's a Machlokas. All right? And he also, Paskin, he seems to lean in the previous Sif, and Sif Yud, towards saying, look, we should be Machler, and consider it Aser B'Hanah, because maybe it's Doraisa, but Machlum has to Meruba, there's room to be lenient.
You can reiterate that again at the end of the Sif Yud.
I don't know. Okay. I mean, you know, at the end he does, I don't know if he goes back, he said, certainly, look at the last word, he says, the tigun ain't no bechalzeh, right? The kolsha can't sleep. The chayin he'll say the ikar ladina. See two lines on the bottom. But I don't know if he's changed his mind about the hefsim ruba. You know what I'm saying? In principle, he says it's a problem. But the answer, I shouldn't have said it so definitively. I don't know. My gut is, but I don't know. Okay. Just to go over again, this may relate to machokos we saw already. Okay, if you remember. The Shara Ephraim, right? Sinalam Ches. He's talking about using Basar V'Chalav candles for Hanukkah, made out of, instead of wax, made out of liquefied Basar V'Chalav. There's some piece of meat or something that had the liquid in it, had the milk in it. So he writes, the Shara Ephraim, first he was like, can I use it all together? The Shara Ephraim then said, the second Shalaf. Remember, we saw this, right? I just quoted again a few lines from it. Shara Ephraim, Simon Lamed Ches, Al Bashela, Shni, Atzorach, Ian, Liat, Zorach, Ladina, Ishar, Lahad, Liko, Osir, Lahad, Mokum, Shemin, Bimka, in the place of oil, Lener Chanukah. Okay, it's a problem, Ner Chanukah, because Ner Chanukah, not to get Hanukkah from, we spoke about it. So did this get into the issue of Mitzvah, Lahenis, and so on. So, he says, well, Ner Chanukah is also Hanukkah, therefore, Ein Zeh Hanukkah, and it's mutar lahad lekachem alot. He seems over here to be maker. We mentioned that the tshuva stopped in the middle. He may have changed his mind, but at this point, he seems to be mutar to use it for Ner Chanukah because there's no isser hanah on this bas v'cholav because you're not allowed to get hanah. And mitzvah lav lehenis nitno, and you're not allowed to use the Chanukah for anything else. That's a shara fine. If you remember, we didn't stress it then, but the Elia Rabba. In the Elia Rabba on the tour, it's in Tafrei Shain Gimel Sukkot and Aleph, and it's also in the Elia Zuta there. We had it last time. I printed the list week sheet on the Levush. He says, one second. He says, forget the Shara Ephraim, he quotes the Shara Ephraim. Shara Ephraim seems only to be worried about what problem? Hano. So it's a discussion. Mitzvah Lehenis Nitlu and the Chanukah candles. What's the lashon? And there's ain lo rishus nishtamish b'hem, right? There's this hano, but the Shara Ephraim says hold everything. The problem bishul. Forget hano. You're right. Okay, you can eliminate the problem hano because mitzvah lehenis nitlu. You're not allowed to get benefit. But lighting that candle, you're cooking that bas v'chalav in that wax in that candle compound, the conglomerate, whatever it is, the bas v'chalav. There's no problem bishul. That's what he says. Tmihani. Okay, he says the daita no the second line of the line, but not the daita no to the mutter mitzvah lehenis nitlu. Fine. So he's eliminated the hano. It's a hano problem. But tmihani habas v'chalav also bishul also. Okay. No, I mean, that's an objection. So, it's not just nisa no. So he says, well, we can get out of that by saying either ain bishol chabishol, right? He says, v'afshe kvar nisbashol, kamalon, then shabbat teshbir chabishol. So we discussed back then, yeah, okay, so the Shah Ephraim disagrees, and he holds that it's not like Shabbos, right? We discussed that. So you can get out of the Eli Rabba's kasha in terms of bishol chabishol and say, look, there's ain bishol chabishol here. That's why it's okay. Or you could say that the Shah Ephraim holds that since this is tikkun, this is frying it. It's not cooking, and therefore he may hold that what tikkun is not included. That maybe the Shah Ephraim shita, the tikkun is not included in this. although he should have said it, because that would be another reason why it's mutar b'hanah. But okay, the Prima Gana mentions Prima Gana here in our Siman, again in Pezayin, in the Sifsei Das, the Tanashach, in Sukkot and Beis, he quotes the Shah Ephraim, okay, Chema Shabishuk Teres Pasa Ben Yomo, you're right, you cook the, heated up this milk in a pot which is Fleshi Ben Yomo, so in there Chanaki says Mutter because it's a Lav Lehenes Nitnui by Mitzvah Abonon and so on, okay, and he says, and now the Zehefech Masha Kosab no Batav Shem Milchus Yaakov Bisolz Bula. It's part of the Sefer. But Tigun Ain Lesser Bahano. That Tigun is only Rabbanon and not Rosh Bahano. And since he didn't say that, maybe says for care. Maybe he holds that Tigun is a problem. Why did he have to come on and say? Why did the Shah Ephraim come and say it's a Lemitzus Lav Lehenes? Even without that, Tigun. It's only Tigun, right? And Tigun is only Rabbanon. Tigun is only Rabbanon. So that's why it's no Yisra'anah. You follow? That's the program. So we could say the Shah Ephraim the other way. You say what? Shah Ephraim apparently holds that Tigun is a problem with the Raisa. That's why it's to come on to. Wait a second. Can he hold this Doraisa? I'm sorry. Tigun will have to hold. The Shah Ephraim will have to hold that Tigun is not Bishul Doraisa. Okay? And therefore there's no Yisra'anah. Question: why did he say that? Can we say it the other way? Okay. But anyway, he basically dismissed the Eli Rabba's kasha because he may simply hold that Tigun is not Bichal Bishul. Tigun is not Bichal Bishul. Okay. I just want to end this unit about Tigun off with an interesting shaila. 40. Shaila which was Chelkis Yaakov Yoredeis in the Tesvav. Yeah, this is Rabbi Yaakov Breisch, who was a rabbi in Switzerland. Okay, in the 20th century. Fairly modern, Shaila. Okay, so in the Chelik Yeredeis in the Chelkis Yaakov originally came out not in any order. In other words, it wasn't Or Chaim Yeredeis. It was the kind of three volumes, but random. And then recently they printed it, divided up by Chalakim Shulchan. Anyway, so this is Yeredeis in the Tesvav, talking about Yesh Bishal Bishal. This is an interesting case. Paul be Medina Schweiz. That's Switzerland. Here in Switzerland. Chok me'amem shalom, shanaros b'nos shitzor v'shivzor, young ladies, girls, age 16, 17, la'achor gomem beis ha-sefer amami, after they finish public school, mechuyavos le'elech le'beis sefer shalomdos b'shom torech v'tikon abayis u'cholom gam bisho afir chedome. This wouldn't wash in today's world, but in the mid-20th century, in Switzerland, there was a din. The young ladies, after they finished their regular classes and reading, writing, arithmetic, whatever, would have to go to learn how to be housewives. Right? That's just it. To learn how to run a house and how to cook. And they would go to school for that. Which, at least in the milieu that was done, was not a bad idea. Okay? I mean, again, today, that wouldn't, in America, I don't think that would wash anywhere. It wouldn't wash anywhere. The women can't have professions. They'll have to be only, you know, barefoot pregnant in the kitchen. It's not right. Okay, but in that milieu, in that world, where basically all household chores were under the women's domain in those days, and they didn't tend to go to work frequently and so on. So it was considered worthwhile, and the government made this rule that women had to go and study cooking, among other things, I mean, household stuff. So, and part of it is cooking and baking and everything else. And therefore they cook there, okay, and the Jewish girls would have to, Chok Hamedina, the Jewish girls would have to go too. This wasn't in the Beis Yaakov. This was like an after school program or whatever it was. Okay, so they had to learn. And the problem is that Kidua, Kimat Kola Tavshim, Prat, Bishnos, Hamachoma, Misbashos, is World War II, Tawan, Misbashos, Im Shumon, Hanikra, Ein Gezatana Butter, butter. It was basically, it was fat or butter, which was made from Shumon, the pork and other meat, and so on, Bosmachala. So the question is, if the religious girls go to this, can they study cooking, you know, and this is, and not only study cooking, but participate. I'm sure it was a hands-on, you know, what we call it today, interactive class, so they had to learn how to cook. So can they do that? He wants to know, Im yesh eze heter lahanaros acharedos, they're from girls, ha'okot b'sham levash al shumana nal, Im yesh v'der bishu b'asvuchal dosu v'atorah, kemish torah was mamish b'asvuchal, Im yesh v'chapeis eze heter, because it's very hard to, you know, the time the law, the religious Jewish girls are not going to go to this program or to protest, and they have to be careful. So he has a tshuva about it, and Ozvav, Tavon Didan, he said a number of reasons why he wants to be Mekel, and one of them is about Bishal HaBishal, that's what the tshuva is entitled. Perhaps by Boshechov, Ein Bishal HaBishal, the stuff was already cooked once before, so he mentions that, but at the very end, also, look, the last couple lines, he said, it's another sniff lahakel, those posts to say that tigon is not bishul, so only frying and doing that kind of cooking would be okay. All right, so that's how he and therefore he's makel, because tigon is not bichal bishul according to some. Yeah, so that wasn't only hefsed meruba like the Prima Gadol Aruch HaShulchan said, but this is. And in a general case as well, yeah.
Well, it seems like this might be a case of Hefsid Merubah. It's not meaning the Sorah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's not just a monetary Hefsid. No. It's also, I thought it was an interesting case. Yeah.
The Korah question, let's say, like owning balance.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, most of the, yeah, there are going to be other issues.
Most of the meat's not kosher anyway.
Most of it's not kosher meat to begin with.
But yeah, but even with that, most of it's fried. I mean, the same question. Right, yeah. Everything, I mean, I don't think too much cooking is being done there. It's all fried. It counts for the healthy status of that food, right? So, but anachalami. So, but anyway, I thought it was interesting. Okay, are we all right here? All right, so so much about the tigu. Now let's turn to tzli, Taka. All right, tzli is, again, even further removed from classic bishul because tzli is not using the medium of liquid at all. The meat rests directly on the fire, on the grill. We have what we call it, that's when they make the shawarma, like a rotisserie kind of thing, where the meat's sitting directly over some sort of fire. There's no liquid there at all. That's called tzliya. So the point of departure there is a sugya in Chulin, talk about, again, the kachal. So remember we said, you got it, the lechatchila, you've got to cut open the kachal and, you know, spill out the milk that's inside it. So the Gemara asks on Kuftes Amud Beis. Kuftes Amud Beis. Ketzad Koro, how do you tear it exactly? Amar Bihuda Kore Shesi Verev. Shesi Verev is an X, a cross, you know, a latitude longitude or whatever, down on, what's it called? Whooping the wharf, I don't know, whatever the different term. So that's called the Shesi Verev. Sometimes people refer to the Christian cross as the Shesi Verev. You find it in polemic literature and other literature, of course, the Shesi Verev. Anyway, but it means, we find that with clothing, with weaving. Anyway, so how do you do it? So you cut it that way, so stuff pours out. The tocho bakos, you bang it against the wall so that everything spills out, right? You open it up in this fashion and you bang it, everything oozes out, okay? Amar Rebbeleza Shamei, Rebbeleza once said to Hishamis, right, to his assistant, Krali Bani Eichel, okay? Open it up for me. Rashi says, Kachal Kodem Shetitzlenu, before you roast it. Manach, I'll eat it, okay? My question, what's the historian for? I mean, Shkoyach. He once told his assistant to do it. Okay, good for him. Well, why did they bring it in? Or it says, isn't that from the mission, right? He was makel, even if you didn't do it, he just crawly, just tear it open so it comes out. It wasn't makbid that you had to do it in the shape of an X and bang it against the wall. He wasn't makbid on that. Okay? So, The Gemara asks, what's his chiluk? My seasoning, the korum with chilas and mutter, that's what it said. A kamashma on a kriya ba'alma kamale. O shesi, o erev, right? It can be this direction, vertical, horizontal, doesn't matter. You don't need both. V'shachalav notev, either way, the milk will come out. Okay, v'shayotzo, erev, chalav lo chazav lo boi shesav erev, el l'kadeira. He says, it's not, so what, if he didn't need shesav erev, was he arguing with the whole principle? So Rashi says, no, there's a difference. If you're going to cook it in a pot, then you have to do it shesiv erev to get it out all the way before you cook it. As opposed to, what was he going to do with it again? Roast it. He was going to roast it. That's what we see from Rashi, right? Krali kachal kodem shetitzlenu. The Rashi 42, kuftas medimas al krali. Means he was going to roast it. So for roasting, you only have to cut it open as the milk comes out. Okay? Whatever comes out, comes out. Whereas the kadeira, if you cook in a pot, then hosam vadai tzorach lahotzi kulo mitchila. Then everything's got to be out before you do anything. So you got to open it all the way and bang it against the wall so it comes out. Otherwise, it's gonna, the milk's going to come out and it'll be recooked with it. Okay? Okay, that which we said earlier, Mutar, he's talking about Tzli. And our purpose is now, look at these words of Rashi, did Tzli nami kari bishul. Rashi says, Tzli is also called bishul. Diksiv b'dibra yomim v'yivashuas ha-pesach. Let's say, or v'yivashuas ha-pesach, the same pasuk. Okay? So that's what the Rashi says over there. Tzli is called bishul. Tosus, not there, but on the kachal, so do it earlier. In the end of the previous parak, it was called Gidan Nosha, Daf Tzadi Vavim Beis. The case is there. I'm a Vashel Gidan Nosha. Okay? You cook it. A Gidan Nosha is the sciatic nerve, which runs through what we call the Acharayim, the hindquarters. Okay? That's where the sirloin steak comes from, that cut, which we don't eat as kosher, right? We don't eat Acharayim. Even if you have deveined it and something, it's very hard to get the Gidan Nosha out. It gets a long... It's a long piece. It goes down the back of the animal. Anyway, so the question is that Tosa dealing with that sugi chul inside. I'm very brave. From Vashel Gidan Nosher, okay. And the question is, you cook it in a pot. There's other piece of meat in the pot. And Yerech shunis Vashel imatzli. That's the technical case. You want to look it up. Yerech, which is a part of the thigh, which is kosher meat, which is Vashel im with the gid. Like gid. Okay, and the whole question, does the gid is after all nerve, it's not meat, does it give off any flavor? Yesh, gid, or no, some time or not? Can it give off flavor? That's the sugi there. The Tosfos writes, okay, as follows. The Ashkechon de Kori Letzli Abishon. Tosfos also says that Tzli is sometimes also called Bishon, quotes the same pasuk, okay, and he quotes that Mishnah, the first part of that Mishnah that I showed you on Kuftes and Beis, that we're referring to, because it talks about the lathe. What about the heart of the animal? And the heart is like the kachal, not that there's milk inside the heart, but what's inside the heart? Blood, as it does. Also, right? So he says, halev also, koro motzi dami. You can cook a lathe, but you've got to open it up and get the blood out. Again, it's not a basuk chol question, it's a dam question. Lo koro, koro la'achar bishulo. Okay? If you didn't, I'll cut it open, then you can cut it afterwards and pull it. What do you mean? Wasn't it cooked already? The answer is it was roasted. Okay, it was roasted. So, in any event, what it says, b'shula means la'achar tzliyoso, after it's roasting. Di b'kedera ha'kol osur im'ein pikana chutz l'kedera. Basically, there's a difference in cooking a kedera. What is the difference? Because when you have this tosis, I mean, for our purposes, tosis agreeing with Rashi, that tzli is also called b'shula. But what I read that printed the Tosfos is because he adds an important point, just conceptually, to understand why should, forget a minute, the psukim you have to call, why should there be a difference on a Doraisa level between Tzli and Ben Bishol? Just conceptually. Why should there be a difference between Tzli and Bishol? It's cooking. Okay, forget the technicality of the words, but Tzli means Vaivashra, that's all these people, good. Just conceptually, why should there be a difference? Why should liquid, make a difference? And the answer would seem to be that when there's a medium of liquid, so the flavor spreads throughout. It goes back to what we talked about in the Hagdama, right? The Isser B'Shem B'Cholov is to prepare this item in a Maderach Bishol Asr Torah means to that's prepared in a manner where flavors interact with each other. That's what happens when there's liquid. Right? When it's liquid, the liquid is mifapeh, it spreads throughout. So I have milk on a piece of meat, so the milk, you know, spreads throughout the meat. Right? Unless it's such a small amount, which again, what do I mean? Well, which we said never became possible to begin with. But you hear what I'm saying? When you have a pot, all right, again, picture, make the soup. You put in the meat, you put in carrots and onions and whatever else you put in your soup, and you want the flavors interact with each other. That's what bishul means. With tzli, okay, you don't have the same level of interacting flavor. Okay, in a pot, b'kedera, that toast makes that chilek. And ration it also. But b'kedera is different. That's why b'kedera, you have to get everything out first because there's an interacting of the flavors b'kedera. But not so by tzli. Okay, by tzli, there's not an interacting of flavors necessarily. And that accounts for you with tzli. Okay, two things touch each other. So maybe at the point of contact, there is interacting flavor. The point of contact, but not throughout the whole piece necessarily, right? There's nothing to transfer the flavor. Again, you think back, we touch on all these points, and I know that's why I did those hakdamas, you know. But so that's what Tosa alluded to over here. That's why conceptually there's a difference. Okay, but in any event, nonetheless, Rashi and Tosa both say that Tzli is also called Bishul. Okay, you know, Tzli is also called Bishul. However, one other thing. There's a Meiri, we'll see a little bit, maybe the Meiri is himself. Just a second. Yeah. The Meiri and Bates are Tesla and Bates. Okay. This year it'll be relevant on Pesach. Right? We make an Erev Tavshilin. What's an Erev Tavshilin? Yom Tov lands on Friday or Thursday and Friday. I think Pesach this year is a Wednesday night that's coming. Pesach, so it'll be relevant. Okay, so we know you're not allowed to cook. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov. Right? In fact, you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for that day of Yom Tov. You can't even cook on Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Sheni. The problem is, what happens if you have what we call a three-day Yom Tov, you know, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, or something, or 2 days, Friday, Shabbos, that'll be Shavuot, so it'll be Friday and Shabbos. Okay, so when are you supposed to cook? So you make an Erev Tavshilin. Okay, you make it, well, you're supposed to cook for Shabbos. You can't cook in advance of Shabbos. You can't cook on Shabbos. So, all right, the truth is that today, you can cook on Wednesday, and the food will stay, because we have preservatives and freezers and refrigerator and everything else. But the days of the Chachamim, the days of the Gemara, until relatively recently, until you had, you know, good means of preserving food. So, you cook something on Wednesday, it didn't taste too good by Shabbos. Right? It was already spoiled a little bit, or not as tasty. So therefore, the Chachamim said, well, we have, since the whole Isser, cooking for a Yom Tov, for after Yom Tov, we assume right now, is Dorabanan under most circumstances. Therefore, they built in a heter called Erev Tavshilin, where in effect you begin the cooking process on Erev Yom Tov. You begin the cooking process on Erev Yom Tov. Then, what you do on Friday is only considered a continuation of that original cooking that was on, let's say, Wednesday. Wednesday is a weekday, so you can do whatever you want. I begin my Shabbos preparation on Wednesday, and therefore, I can now cook on Friday, even though Yom Tov, I can cook on Friday on behalf of Shabbos, because it's just a continuation of the ma'aseh that I started already on Wednesday, right? What do you do? So you prepare two items, a cooked item and a baked item. Okay, that's called Erev Tavshil. You set that aside, and you leave it there somewhere, and then when you cook on Friday on behalf of Yom Tov, okay, I'm sorry, on Friday Yom Tov on behalf of Shabbos, that's another direction you have to do it. Sometimes you have, when Shabbos goes into Sunday, Yom Tov, like we had with last year Shavuos, right? Shavuos was Sunday, Monday. So they don't need the Erev Tavshil in that direction. You only need Erev Tavshil in, I know Rosh Hashanah once told us that the people would, when they made a mistake and didn't want to admit a mistake in Halacha, so, oh, the Vilna Gaon holds like that. Somehow the Vilna Gaon was always the, because the Vilna Gaon had some unusual in August, every time someone would say, so he said that one time Rabbi made a mistake. It was a Shabbos Sunday situation. And the rabbi, the previous Shabbos, announced that people should make an Erev Tavshilin. So someone in the shul mentioned, that's not Erev Tavshilin. It's the other way. He got mixed up, the rabbi. He said, the other way. Yeah, but the Gaon says, Gaon doesn't say such a thing. There's no concept of Erev Tavshilin. The Rosh Hashanah said, so more modern times, Rabbi Soloveitchik became that one. Oh, yeah, but I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik said it. He said, no, you know. But anyway, so Erev Tavshilin. So what do you do at Erev Tavshilin? So our practice is you take a cooked item and a baked item, and there's a certain bracha, you make a declaration, you say, this is the beginning of my cooking, and through this, maybe they'll be allowed to continue. Okay, so you have to have a cooked, we pass an Erev, there's Shnei Tavshilin, you have to have two cooked items, two items. Okay? Okay, what the items are doesn't matter. I remember a few years back, by us it's not so infrequent that we have a 3-day Yom Tov. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael it's less common. Like this year, Pesach won't be in Eretz Yisrael because Pesach is, by us it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. By them, Friday's Chol Hamoed already. I have 1 day of Yom Tov, so they don't need an Erev Tov Shalom because Friday's Chol Hamoed. So by us it's more frequent because we have always the 2 days. So, but sometimes you have, let's say, Shavuos is Friday, Shabbos. So I remember, I guess the way the calendar worked out, they hadn't had it in Eretz Yisrael in a while. Okay, they hadn't had it in a while in Eretz Yisrael. They had to make an Erev Tov Shalom. Sometimes like Rosh Hashanah, which the Rosh Hashanah have 2 days in Eretz Yisrael also. And I think that's what happened. I think it was a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. You know, Rosh Hashanah was Thursday and Friday. So even Eretz Yisrael, it's Thursday and Friday. Sukkot, and the last day of Sukkot, those years we have to make an Erev Tov Shalom, you know, basically 3 out of 4 weeks. Right? Rosh Hashanah, and then the first day of Sukkot, and the last day of Sukkot. But in Eretz Yisrael, I only do one. Anyway, so I remember my sister called me up. We were talking on the phone before Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. She said, does it have to be a piece of matzah again? You know, it has to be matzah, or that's all in Pesach, it has to be matzah. It doesn't have to be matzah. It can be, and it doesn't have to be a gefilte fish. It has to be a baked item and a cooked item. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Many people use a hard-boiled egg. Okay, whatever. There's no set food. But the question is, so why do you need 2 items? Because you want to be able to bake also. So the Gemara that Rishonim discuss that you need a baked item because baking is never called cooking. Afia is a different story, okay? Afia, baking, is not subsumed under Bishul. Okay, so Erev Tav Shilin. Okay, so that's why you need a cooked item and a baked item, okay? By bread, you know, you're in English also, you don't say, oh, I'm cooking bread now, I'm cooking a cake. You're not, you're baking, right? The word. So therefore, you need the baked item separately, okay? But look what the Meiri there in Beitza writes, in Tesh Vav Med Beis, in Beitza on the second line, right? Talking about the Shein Tov Shilin, second line is, V'habishul heishen kolel kol minei hachonos shomaychol. Bishul is a catch-all word for any type of food preparation, chutz min hapas, he says, except for bread. Okay? And he says, hein maise kedera, hein tzli, hein basar gabe gecholim, okay? Hein tikkun kol maichol, okay? Marimatzinu tzli beloshem mevushal, he seems to agree with what we said, that tzli is also part of Bishul. Okay? And therefore, you don't need to have a separate cooked item and a separate roasted item. Let's say I'm not sure yet how I'm going to cook for Friday for Shabbos. You know, on Friday Yom Tov. I don't want to roast the chicken. Maybe I'll grill it. Okay, what am I going to do? I don't know yet. So I have to have an Erev Tov Shilin. I have to prepare in advance all these different types of food. I better take one cooked thing, one fried thing, one baked thing, whatever. The answer is no, you only need 2. Baked and cooked, because cooked includes everything else. Okay? So the Meiri there seems to say that way. However, the Meiri in Sanatsugi in Sanhedrin, on Avdalid, the Sugi in Sanhedrin, he says, Bishul bas v'chol, let's say Minatala derech Bishul, v'hu shemivashu in chol of tzolol ke'ein mayim. That's cooking in milk, which is clear that with tzolol, and go back to your question, maybe deep frying is different because it's not tzolol. Tzolol is like clear liquid, right? Ke'ein mayim, like water. Avalim tzila or tzolol is habasar, v'ayim fatmo b'cholol, Ein ze isur bishul min haTorah. Okay, mefatma means like sort of like. Let's say I'm cooking meat. I'm cooking like I have a what do you call it, a spit, right? I'm cooking on a spit over fire, or like you know they make shawarma, that thing that just spins around. So I want to baste the meat with some butter, the milk, right? And so it's on the fire there. And I'll baste it. Okay, so with some kind of a milking thing. So that would not, according to the Meir's writing over here, ein ze iser bishul min haTorah. Okay? And v'chein im tigno be'ilfas, ilfas a pen, and come back, im cholav ma'at. So you ask what the threshold is, right? The Meir's language, im cholav ma'at. Again, I don't know. He doesn't tell you the threshold. Ma'at. Ke'ein sha'osim v'shemen. Like you would do with the oil. Put a milk in there, or butter in there, like you would with the oil. Now he says, "V'yesh cholkim b'tigno avodah parkos samduah misav eschum parkal b'osu." Anyway, what he says over here is that tzliya is not bechal bishul. So I don't know if it's a stira, because you could argue that by erev tavshilin, for the whole area of Tavshon is Drabanan anyway, so there's room for leniency. But anyway, it's interesting, Meiri. Okay, the Meiri says that Mabishul means some of the clear things, and therefore Tzli is not really included in Bishul at the Raisa level. The Ritva, I'm sorry, the Rashba, and our Sugin Chulin, Kuf Tes Mabei, Zemas Alema Mesayele, by the Kachal, he says, Pirish Rashi, the Dafka, Dam Shaleva, Savabasar, Halev Mutta, Shahalev Chalak, Meina Bolea, it's different, it's smooth, not Bolea. Okay, he mentions that, but talks a little bit about the Dam question. But at the end, he also writes, Stam, look at the last line, Tanya Kushna Kamlan's on, Stam Bishul Bekadera Mashma. Bishul usually means in a pot, and therefore it does not include Tzli. Okay, it does not include Tzli. The Ran, on the Rif and Chulin, I mentioned to you that most of the Ran's contribution of Maseches Chulin is printed not on the Rif, is printed not in the usual way where the Ran is on the side of the page. You have a little bit on the side of the page, but there are a lot of things which the Ran doesn't comment on the side of the page in the Rif. And he left one thing: how could the Ran be silent about all this? He wasn't. It was all put at the end of the at the end of the Perek. So it's Daf Mem Gimel. So if you look it up in the Gemara, you'll see the Ran page Mem Gimel in the page of the Rif. There's Mem Gimel Al. That's where the Ran on the sugyas comes up. For whatever the reason, it's not printed on the side of the page as usually the Ran is on the Rif. Anyway, the Ran there on Mem Gimel Al from the page of the Rif. Didn't ask for Tanan Bepirkin. Okay, he says he talks about the relationship with Bishul and Tzli, and he says. Midaraisa, okay, ain't omim kain eladumia, okay, the bus of Bechal of Derek Bishul, okay, the ain't bus of Klippa Minatar, the Derek Bishul also Torah Bedafka. He says the following, I think this is what he's getting at. Bishul, again, means that the flavor enters into the whole piece, right? The flavor that, again, he's talking about, Kechaticha Atzman Asin Nevela, right? The flavor, Chaticha Hanan. The flavor enters into the whole piece, as opposed to when it touches, when there's an issue of klipa. What does klipa again mean? The outer shell, the outer layer. Okay, now that's a further question. Klipa literally means like a peel. Okay, a klipa is a kolef, is a peeler in Hebrew. Klipa is a peel. So that's a further question I want you to talk to and I'll have to talk about another time. How thick is that? I mean, you know, there's an apple peel is considerably thinner than a banana peel. Right, just in terms of the width. Right? So that's a question of what does klipa mean exactly? But the Ran writes on a Daraisa level, there's no such thing as klipa by Bas Mechalov. Why? Because by Bas Mechalov, like I said before, the Cholov travels throughout the entire piece of meat. There's no concept of klipa by Bas Mechalov, because Derek Bishul Asvatar, and Bishul means that it's much more than a klipa. Bishul means that it's the whole piece. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, so he says by klipa by definition means that the iser or the milk would only enter part of it, only enter that part, the klipa, whatever the klipa is. Let's say it's a centimeter thick, whatever. Okay, I'm not saying that, a millimeter thick. Okay, let's say that's all it is. So that's fine. The iser, in this case, the milk only entered that part. Okay, the part that actually touched, the point of contact. But b'vas v'cholov, we never find the klipa. Okay, at the rice level. Because it by definition entered the whole thing. All right? Now, by tzli, we generally have that the two things that are roasting touch each other, so it's usur kedei klipa. So apparently, tzli is not bishul. It's a little bit roundabout, but it's what I said before. It's explaining the sheet that the Ran is, in so many words, is explaining the difference between tzli and bishul. Okay? So it ends up that with the tzli is included is also a machlokas rishonim. The Chavos Das here, beginning of Siman Pei Zayin, Birim, Os Sukkot Nalim, Derek Bishul. Vim Tzli, Osim and Atov, Osim Chalav, Das, Rashi, the Tosis, and Sanhedrin, Zach, by the Bonin, Zataraisim, Chaini, Das, Haran. The Tirits and others disagree. And as far as all the Psukim is concerned, so he has, not what I told you before, that the Aruch HaShulchan said about the Dorim being Lashon Le'Adam, but also he says, we have a principle also that Lashon Torah L'chud Lashon Chachamim L'chud. Okay? That just because something means something in the language of the Torah does not mean that's what it means in the language of Chachamim in Hebrew. Because language evolves. You know that, again, you know, look at English as an example. Okay? I mean, read Shakespeare, certain English words that he used don't have that meaning today if we use them at all, right? And then certainly going back to Chaucer, right? I mean, the Chaucer doesn't sound English. I'm not reading the translation. I'm reading Chaucer in the original. It's English, but it's not the English we speak today. And language words take on different meanings. I mean, I can't think of an example. You can all think of an example of words that don't. One time, cool was a measure of temperature, and so was hot for that matter. Okay, today both cool and hot have other meanings. That they mean one time. Okay, nothing wrong. Language is evolved. Use of language. I'm not even talking about we call it urban language and so on. The language evolves. So in Hebrew also. So sometimes we find the Torah mentioned, for example, Hafroshes, by the way, mitzvah Hafroshes challah. Okay? What is the challah? The challah is the piece that comes out, or the challah is the whole thing? Okay? So challah torimu means to take the piece out. So again, the words weren't their meaning. And it certainly seems to have nothing to do with the challah we use for Shabbos. Okay? So I'm just saying words in Hebrew, you have to be mafresh challah even if you're not using it for Shabbos. Anyway, bottom line, language has changed. So that's what Chavos Das basically says. The tirat the Lashon Torah shall be shul mashma fil etzliya. Okay, Lashon Torah, maybe Lashon Chachamim, etzliya is not so close with Chalav and so on. There's a long Prichodesh. If you have time, read it. Prichodesh, also is very... Prichodesh, unfortunately for those of us who have less patience, Prichodesh is sometimes lengthy, but... I believe I once heard that in Avraham Lichtenstein, to Mala Rocha, that he never saw a Kruma Svar in the Prichodesh. He's always on the mark. He says it's clear. He's got, whatever. So here in Sukkot and Beis, he discusses this issue, and he says, on the one hand, Sli Bechal Bishul, he quotes the Psukka by Karmel Pesach, right? Sli Bechal Bishul. A few lines later, he says, Amatzosil Haran, okay, quotes Aran, the Aran that I mentioned to you, that's with him. That Sli is not also in the Torah, and he says maybe Yesh Lidchos because of different Bosom Cholov and so on, and the whole Chatichah, there's not a Vela. Then they talk about Tigun, and Cholov may not be Bishul, it's Tigun, but certainly Sli is different. Some of the things I said again, you read the Ran, and read the Pramagon, you'll see a good sum of these issues. Okay, and he says maybe there's a difference in Sugi and Sanhedrin, that the Iker Bishul is talking about the Pasuk, because remember that whole Sugi and Sanhedrin. Just talking about how you dash the pasuk, chalevimo, the mean chalev, and so on, right? Yeshem lemikir, shalom soros. That's the sugi there. So therefore, it worked out that it's got to be chalev. It doesn't mean, therefore, la halacha. That Gemara was trying to figure out how you read the pasuk, but it doesn't mean, therefore, la halacha. We're going to conclude a certain way, right? He says just mashmos kro. Right? They were talking about what the pasuk meant. Okay, and really gam tzli nichav bishul. Okay, anyway, so that's what he says. At the end, the Ramon brings in some various other types of cooking, which is not tigun and not sli. Okay, so he mentions, for example, shaluk. Okay, what is shaluk? We know shaluk is. Shaluk is when you cook vegetables, overcook it. You make them very soft, very, very soft and mushy. Okay, that's called shaluk. Almost that it doesn't even have this, doesn't have the same texture and perhaps even the taste is sufficiently altered, okay, by cooking. It's a shocker. Sometimes you do that for recipes or whatever else. So he said, about a dozen lines to the bottom towards the end of the line, and this prechadish here, he said, Aval sholok, hainu shemagushal biyoser, aser ba'nov, nichlo tachas bishul. That is bishul, because it's using liquid. Even though in the Dorim it says, hainu shemagushal mutar b'tzli v'sholok, okay, because again, hainu shemagushal in the Dorim, hochal achalash me'odim. That's not called cooked, that's called, I think it's called overcooked. But overcooked, not saying negative. Sometimes the recipe or the particular dish calls for overcooking it, because you're going to use it as some other type of garnish or whatever you use it. You follow what I'm saying? So that's called shlokos. He said that is in the category of bishul d'oraisa. What about snon l'toch cham? I put something hot, cold, into something hot, okay, where there's no fire at all. But we cooked up by the item itself. Right, the item itself is so hot. It's known with tochah. He says afhu derech bishul. Okay, v'chein irui. Irui is pouring. Like I pour out of a kettle, I pour hot water, I pour some hot milk onto something. I pour again. There's no fire anymore. Okay, but it's irui. He says that's also mevashel at least kedei klipa. at least their point of contact. So anyway, he brings these other cases of, and he mentioned the very end, which we'll have to come back to, ba'ushon, what if it's smoked? Smoked. And today they smoke meat, right? That's how it's cooked. It's cooked through smoke. The fire's gone already. The fire's somewhere else. I don't know exactly how they do it, but sometimes in fancy restaurants you get smoked meat and so on. Okay, or mevushal b'chamei teveria. You know, chamei teveria, hot springs, underground hot springs and so on. That cooks it. All these things, you know, come a little bit later as well. So that's that. That's that pre-chadosh. All right. Now, la'alocha, just to finish up, the prima godin. And his psicha, we've seen a lot of his psicha already in the different forms. He says, Vihina 50, Vihina noga chaticha chama bosa lagrina chama, below rota. A hot piece of meat touched hot cheese, but there was no rota, nothing gravy, nothing to transfer around. Okay, ledaiti raktra bonon umutaris banoa. Delo havi derech bisha. And he quotes the Amshul Shlomo like that, okay, that it's not derech bisha, but in komak with their bonon osir. And therefore, besuffic, eshul hakel, and so on. All right, we keep Eger here in our right, the first right here in Siman Aleph. Eger writes in the Siman Pei Zayin Siman Aleph, derech bishul ayin pichadosh to gam tzli ve'ir v'tzon tocham havi daraisa. He summarizes the pichadosh, and he seems to agree that tzli, irui, tzon tocham, these are all daraisa in his opinion. And the only thing that's excluded is the kovush and malich, we spoke about it, are now out of the mix. And so on. As far as Iru is concerned, so there's a discussion. Iru comes up by Yom Shabbos. Okay? So Iru, what is the status of Iru? I pour something hot onto something. Would that be a problem with Bishon Shabbos? Right? So the Tosus in Shabbos, on Membeis, Dirmas Abel Nosin, right? So Ben Shmuel may be right. The Iru Kikli Sheni. Okay? That he says, Irui is mevasha like klisheni is mevasha. What's a klisheni? Klisheni, the kli rishon is the thing that's on the fire. The klisheni, sometimes you take the kli rishon off the fire and have a different setup, but the klisheni is what it's poured into. So typical, you know, Shabbos meal, so the soup is put in a bowl. The bowl is probably a klisheni, is a klisheni. That's a question, maybe be a klishlishi, because the klisheni was the scooper, what do you call it, the ladle, right, they took it out. So that's klisheni now. And now you pour it into the bowl, it's very klisheni. But klisheni does have the capacity to mevashal certain things. Things known as kale, from a kal, simple kale habishul. Things which are easily cooked. That's the big tea question. Okay, one of the big issues of making tea on Shabbos is tea considered kale habishul, such that even a klisheni, again, the water is in your percolator, okay, so now you put it into the klisheni. The Tosa explains here that the svara of klisheni, the reason why it's not really able to be mevashel, is because defanos mekaros, the walls of the glass, the cup, the bowl, or whatever it is cold. The walls are cold, so that's going to cool off the water. When you really put water, the piping hot in, it will cool off the water enough that now what you put inside the water is not going to be able to be mevashel. Right? That's the svara of klisheni, which, by the way, sometimes at weddings, sometimes they serve the soup, the bowl itself is hot. And sometimes it's on purpose, I think. You know, in the fancier places, it's on purpose like that. The bowl itself is hot. Sometimes it's because they just got it out of the dishwasher. Okay? But either way, it's hot. So I don't know I don't think at all that would be called a klisheni, because even though technically it's removed from the fire, but the walls of the whole svar of klisheni is that the walls of the bowl of the pot cool off the substance inside the pot, and that's not the case. Is that right?
And for the Gemara, they taught us there was salvation, assuming that that was a
clear shot. Yeah, I think so.
Well,
if it was heated up,
then
yeah.
It was heated. And they used to do it. They do it sometimes on purpose because
like
it's
for Shabbos. They would hope that they're. I think the soup was cold, so caterers
started
doing that.
Yeah, they made a problem. It's done to keep the soup. I understand what they want to do. They want to eat hot soup when you sit down after schmoozing at the bar mitzvah. But the
culinary is supposed to serve hot things on hot dishes.
Yes, yeah, the fancier or the more classy places.
Soup is a problem here. So the problem would be if you want to put bread in your soup.
Right, sure.
So you're putting two back into a TV show.
So that's a great afia, right? That's the issue. Afia chabish, that's a big discussion. But again, that's the tea issue, the more common known issue of an average home.
Yeah, Ray Williams, Bishop of Rabbi Schechter, in his notes, quotes from the Rav, says that the list of the Kali Bishop of the Mishnah of Gemara, we shouldn't expand beyond that. I mean,
that's a question. That's a question also. Yeah.
But then, especially the Ha'idei Kippa.
That's a Vashik Dikipa.
So when we're cooking tea, are we cooking the Kippa?
That's a question, because the bag itself. That's all part of the issue. I'm not doing that now, but that's all part of the issue. But anyway, Tosis there says that Iru, what is Iru? So he calls Kikli Sheni. On the other hand, the Re says Iru is Kikli Rishon. And again, that's by Shabbos. So that's a question, is it going to be the same din by Shabbos as by Bas V'Chol, Lav Davka? Okay, but that's with regard to Shabbos. I printed, just to wrap up, I printed the Shulchan Aruch earlier, it's in Samaches, it's not in the same volume, but by Hilchos Dam, and Sif Yud, okay, Ein Mol Gedim Tom Ofos Beklubisha Elim Kein Niker Esachelev Umolchom, okay, Vechein Arayla Meklubisham. Once I want to bring this in, that's when we're plucking the... second, the feathers and the blood's going to come out. You don't do that in a Kli Rishon. I want to bring out the Ramor. Right, the Ramor writes, "V'lo mikri ira kishelo posak akiluach mikli Rishon kishenog lamato posak paralo mikri ira veino oser." There's a difference when you're pouring out of the, let's say, the kettle. There's a straight flow. Kiluach means a flow. So nifsaka kiluach means I pour it. By the time it gets to the bottom, it's no longer attached. There's nothing connecting it anymore to the spout of the pot, as opposed to when I'm pouring, it's an ongoing flow, it's all coming out. So nifsa, that's even nifsaka kiluach. So that's what the Ramon says over there. It's a question. The Shach there says, okay, again, that's a question, it's going to be the same by Yichud Shabbos or not. Okay, there is a Ramban, and the Shach of the Zohar, Ayin Dal and Beis, Chidush Ramban, in your Rishalmi. He said somebody was asked, are the same thing by Bas V'Cholav or not? Okay, is it the same? And so that's a question, thinks maybe it's not the same rule, not necessarily the same rules. All right? I just want to point out, on the page in Shulchan Aruch, what's on this? It's not even in this edition. But it was. Okay. In some editions of Shulchan Aruch, you have on the page the Yad Avram, which is not the same as the Yad Ephraim. No Yad Ephraim here. Is it in the Yotze Perushim? Oh yeah, okay. So it's in this edition I have here. It's an Olsen Mepharshim, whatever it is. On the page, you have the Yad Ephraim. We'll discuss this. Just a moment. So he mentions the Master Shaina also in a Torah Derek Bishol. Is that the one I wanted? Just a moment. Sorry. Vein also in a Torah Derek Bishol. So the Yad Avram, which is printed here with some additions of the Otsum of Farshim, it's a long piece, I'll just say outside. He says, in the name of Samachronim, that Iri always Mivashal Kade Klipa, okay? And therefore, it is mevashal. Therefore, it's derech bishul. That's the phrase mevashal kadei klipa. Therefore, it's also in the Torah. But he disagrees. He says, "I'm not also in the Torah because that's not the normal way of cooking. You don't usually cook something by pouring hot water over it." And what his chiddush is that derech bishul means not just. In other words, bottom line is forget about the word bishul. It's not a matter of defining the word. When we say Derek Bishol Osra Torah, it's not necessarily, I think that's what the Abu Rabbam is getting, it's not necessarily defining the word Bishol. It includes the Iroi and then. Never mind the word Bishol. Does it accomplish the goal? Okay? Does it accomplish the goal of normal, not, I'm sorry, is it the normal act? Not what the word means, not accomplish the goal, but normal act. Is this the normal, is this called, the people call this Bishol, right? Never mind, you have a pasuk over here and a pasuk over there. That's we're not looking now to define bishul as a strict technical definition, but rather, is this the normal way that people cook? Okay, and he says normal way of people cooking is not, by pouring water over something along those lines. So he wants to say that would not be included under Bas V'Chalo. But if you look in the last source that I printed, the Gilyon Maharsha, okay, that's again from Shlomo Eger, here in Ar Siman Pei Zayin, Sefkot and Gimel, there are usually Tzli, La Prichodosh, Havi Minat Torah, V'chein Tigun, V'minchas Yaakov, Sov Dar Dabonin, he quotes the same machlok we saw, the Irem Yikulish, Al Safik Minat Torah, and so on. So Shlomo Eger also has this, presents this machlokas. And again, what seems to be behind everything here, is that really there are two goals in understanding what Bishul means. Is it Derech Bishul in terms of, you know, what the Torah calls Bishul? And number two, is there transcendence of flavor throughout? Because that's really what Bishul is. That's what people call cooking, when it's transcendence of flavor throughout. So you have to look at each one of these cases. The machlokas may revolve around what definition of Bishul will look. All these different shittas. The Prichodesh includes Iru, it includes this, it includes that. Is that because he calls that Bishul? That's what the word Bishul means. Okay, and therefore it's Derech Bishul. However, if you hold that Derech Bishul means something more than that, conceptually, that its flavor is throughout, it's not just on the outer point of contact and so on, so then it's going to affect what you can subsume under Bishul or not. So again, it seems to be Machlokas, all these things, Tigun, Sli, and so on. We'll have to get back to the later in the Siman about smoking and Chametz Torah and all those. You follow?
What is really the Lamaisim? The same way in terms of
I think that most of the poskim seem to say it's machlokas. I mean, it's machlokas,
right,
but
right.
So again, you could argue that Bochum Shasad Chak or Hefsid Mahuba, there's room to make, but otherwise, we should avoid it. Again, let's remember again, practically speaking, it's definitely also Darbonim.
No.
Right, there's no question, it's also to do it, and I need it, there's no question about it. The only question is, it is Sahamah because it's Darbonim. Okay, we'll stop over here. I wish everybody a good chance.
We will have a